This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast on July 23rd, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news. They have an update on U.S. biotech corn exports to Mexico, and we'll check whether those drones used here but made in China are risky. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has heat, humidity, and unstable weather ahead. And Monday Ag Markets posted a nice rally. John Zanker explains on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at FFBT.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
An update on our biotech corn to Mexico, and is China spying on us through our drones? I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. We're a step closer to knowing if the ban on U.S. corn to Mexico is going to stick. In a surprising move that runs completely counter to science, Mexico placed the ban on biotech corn last year. The U.S. then moved forward with a dispute settlement panel under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement.
The panel just completed a public hearing at the end of June, and then they will work on a final report that will come out in November.
That's Nancy Martinez, fellow Hoosier and Director of Public Policy, Trade, and Biotechnology for the National Corn Growers Association. She joined us on the most recent Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, presented by the Indiana Corn Growers Association and Indiana Soybean Alliance, found now at HoosierAgToday.com. Martinez says the lawyers that argued the case for the U.S. made a great case that the science is on our side and that Mexico did not conduct a full risk assessment before making the decision to ban our biotech corn.
One thing that Mexico argues over and over again is that their population consumes more corn than anywhere else in the world. So therefore, they are at an increased exposure. But the U.S. lawyers made the case that if they did conduct a risk assessment, that would have been part of the risk assessment. Exposure is part of any risk assessment by international standards. So I thought the U.S. did a great job to combat some of the Mexican arguments, and we'll have to see in November.
If for some reason this dispute panel doesn't go our way, the loss of our number one market in Mexico would be huge. But Martinez says the losses don't end there.
First, it's a huge loss for science and biotech. So if for some reason the panel decision does not come out in our favor, it would significantly undermine the 1,700 studies that have been done by, you know, very good organizations about the science here. So we have that. You know, other countries could also follow in Mexico's steps. You know, they could take measures like Mexico just for the sole fact of trying to knock U.S. imports out of their markets in an effort to prop up their own domestic industries. So we definitely don't want that to occur either.
She adds that innovation would also take a hit, as companies in the biotech corn space would limit investment in that space if the market dwindles. You can hear more from Martinez in the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Over 3 million acres of American farmland were sprayed by drones last year, and as more farmers use drones for spraying and scouting, there are concerns that drones made in China pose a major risk to our national security. CJ Miller has the story.
A country like China, which is in economic competition with us and perhaps even more serious competition in the future, it'd be foolish to think that they wouldn't try to use every advantage that they have.
And that's Arthur Erickson, CEO of Helio, a drone manufacturer based in Texas. He says the main concern has been over the use of drones that come from a Chinese company called DJI.
Back in 2017, the Department of Homeland Security put out a memo stating that they had strong reason to believe that DJI drones were sending critical information back to the Chinese government that could be used to undermine U.S. national security. So then you start to see in the National Defense Authorization Act of 2019 that the Chinese-made drones were in fact banned for purchase and use by the U.S. government. Now that ban and those concerns have grown even further. And so there are calls to ban Chinese drone use outright. So not just in the public sector, but also the private sector here in the States.
Erickson says there's legislation that's passed in the U.S. House and now pending in the Senate that would effectively ban the use of drones made by DJI. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at FCMA.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eiley Fabrications. Many liners rivet or plug weld on top of the OEM, simply covering the wear. But Eiley steel wear part liners are made with the best steel, are easy to install, and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Taking a look at the setup here for your Tuesday. We are very humid. We saw humidity increase dramatically yesterday. And with the humidity and the heat that's going to be coming along for the ride with it, we are going to be a little bit unstable over the next couple of days. We did see pop-up scattered showers and thunderstorms yesterday. Think we see better precipitation and better coverage of this pop-up activity as we move through today and tomorrow. I'm still on track for us to see anywhere from a tenth to maybe 1 inch of moisture combined from yesterday, today through tomorrow, 3 day totals, and coverage will end up being about 80% of the state. Looks to me still like the best precipitation or the highest end of the range will be down in central and southern Indiana, but as I think I've said before, let's not get too cute, all right? There's going to be moisture around. You get into the latter part of the week, it's almost going to be a repeat of last week where we saw cooler, less humid air come in for a time. I think Thursday and especially Friday and Saturday are going to turn out quite nice for the region here. Going forward then, as we end up the latter part of the weekend, Sunday we start to see humidity values creep back up. We are very warm and more humid for next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. However, Tuesday, I think we stay dry, not even any pop-up chances, but by Wednesday, a frontal boundary will be knocking on the door from the west. It's not an exceptionally spectacular front, but I do think it gives us a decent chance of rain, 60 to 70% coverage for next Wednesday, quarter to three quarters of an inch of moisture. Behind it, though, I'm looking over the western half to two-thirds of the country, largest scale upper-level ridge building in over the plains in western U.S. I'm looking for that to expand eastward. So as we start off the month of August, I think not only do we stay very, very warm, but I think we're going to dry things down significantly. So after the ample or mostly frequent shower action that we've seen over the past month, mostly through July, I think we're going to turn that off a bit moving into August, at least the way the pattern is trying to shape up right now. That's a look at your forecast update. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. Corn, soybeans, and wheats, and the meats too, all on the plus side all session long. This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Monday Farm Market Review. I'm Ian DeEubank. I'll have settlements for Monday trade coming up. First, market analysis. I grab that near the end of the session from John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities. John, a nice bounce, not just a few cents here and there in corn and soybeans, 30 cents better in the case of November beans, and roughly a dime up in the corn market. So a pretty good bounce to open up the week. Forecasts have gone a little hotter and drier. Is that the main impetus in your view?
I think it is. I think it's about 75 to 80% of it. China looking at stimulating their economy a little bit more, and that's been a positive. Hopefully, that will stimulate some imports because they're way behind where they need to be. Export shipments of 12.0 were not too bad for this time of the year and exceeded expectations, so a little support from there. But, you know, this forecast, mid-late last week, I had mentioned to one of my customers, I said, if this forecast comes through for the Indianapolis area, we might be talking about wanting it to stop raining by the 1st or 2nd of August. And, you know, even our forecast is drier than it was on Friday. And Western Belt, they're really pulling the chances out there. Maybe one, maybe two, and neither one much over 40% here in the next 2 weeks. So not any major crop damage is going to come out of that if we start to see some cooler temperatures and rain develop in that second week of August. But that's all a big if. The funds were sitting on record shorts, and it doesn't take much to rally off of those if we get some bullish weather news.
Soy meal and soy oil markets both up as well. That probably was helpful to the soybean market cause.
Absolutely. And domestic usage, corn and beans, no problems there. Both of those are strong. So it's been more about the export market, and corn exports have, you know, they've been pretty good and on their way to matching expectations. 38.2 million for corn. That's pretty good at this time of the year, even though it's down from the 10-week average of 45.7. So domestically, we have good markets. Exports, a little more shaky, especially for soybeans.
Wheat market was solid. When you look at Chicago wheat, it gained over a nickel. And the only real exception in the grains and oil seeds to the higher move was Kansas City wheat, although here at the end of trade, it appears to be firming up a little bit.
We had a good move in spring wheat, and we didn't see Kansas City and Chicago follow along quite as nice as what we would have hoped for. You know, you've got new crop corn up 11 cents. You would have thought we could have gotten more than 6 cents out of wheat. So that's a disappointment, but there's no major concerns about the wheat at this point. We still have a very good looking hard red spring crop. And if we can get some rain in there here in the next couple of weeks, they're probably on their way to a record yield. That's all looking a bit more questionable today than it was late last week.
The corn and soybean rally, do you think it's got some legs to it?
Well, it's just as good as the next weather forecast, Andy. It's that time of the year. We don't have anything going on in the export market that's big enough to withstand a solid turn to the cooler and wetter side here. China will be buying some beans. They have to. They're way behind where they've been in recent years. Our import numbers right now, our export numbers are just really awful versus what we've seen over the last 5 to 10 years. So we have a problem there. And if we revert back to thinking record soybean yield, yes, the downside, it won't take long to redevelop.
John Zanker there. He's with Risk Management Commodities. John's number is 866-837-9027. Now, Monday settlements. Dime gains in corn. September goes to $4.25, 9¾ higher. Dees 4.15 up a dime and a quarter. March up a dime and three quarters at 4.29¼. August beans 11.17¾, 20½ higher. September 10.64¾, up 28. And November 10.68¾, up 32¾. September wheat 5.48, that was up 5¼. October live cattle, 184.60, up $1.12. October lean hogs, 75.97, up $1.42. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.